Hi, everyone. Very good morning. And today I have Rahul Ramkumar with me, Director of Products at Walmart. Thank you so much, Rahul, for joining us on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. So Rahul has 10 years of experience in online and omni-channel customer space. At Walmart, he is leading personalization, and he's got a team who builds products on the web mobile store, and they take care of personalization, and the team is responsible for products that shape experience for a large percentage of Walmart's online and in-store traffic. Prior to this, Rahul has also led products at Myntra and Flipkart, where he helped teams set up the early stage as well as led very large teams there. So Rahul, the first question is, the traditional retail and evolution of Walmart into the modern e-commerce space, how was the transition there?
It's actually a very interesting question, Srinidhi. And, we've been debating that ourselves, right? And I don't think there is any traditional retail left in some sense. Like, I think it's all going to be the new omni-channel world. So the separation between e-commerce and retail, brick and mortar traditionally is actually, going down considerably. And mm-hmm. And the lines are blurring, right?
Okay.
So for us, the transition has been more around how do we leverage the assets that only we as Walmart have and actually really meet the customer where they want to meet us, right? Without necessarily forcing down a channel upon them, e-commerce or brick and mortar retail.
Right. So you're saying that going forward, the brick and mortar model is going to completely vanish and we'd only have e-commerce thriving?
No, I'm actually saying the contrary. I actually feel that, we are going to evolve in a way where the brick and mortar retail is going to seamlessly blend into what today we know as e-commerce, and it's going to create a new format, called omni-channel, which has already now been in existence for the last 5 to 10 years. But I think that's going to be the future way of how customers are going to shop.
Awesome.
Here in the US, but also everywhere else.
Right. So you've also led teams in Myntra and Flipkart and currently at Walmart. So do you think geography really affects the way how your end customers view the traditional retail versus the modern e-commerce?
It's not so much so about the geography, mm-hmm. but more so about the context that exists in that particular area, right? Like,
right.
If you really look at, where we were, in terms of India, like about a decade ago, which is when I started my career in product management at Flipkart,
right?
We actually skipped an entire generation in India. Like, there was no real, generation where a lot of usage of the computers, we directly went to mobile commerce, right? So, that meant that the kind of, evolution of retail also had to depend on that. So we really did, see a lot of, shift because of that kind of ecosystem existing. I feel like because of those kinds of contexts, customers also start, using and behaving differently, and organizations will have to meet the customers where they are, right? Mm-hmm. But I think overall, it's not so much about the geography, but it's more about the context that exists there, but also how the value system, differs, right? So if you think about let's say the Western countries, even though geographically they might be different, let's say the UK versus US and other countries in the Europe, in terms of the customer behavior, they're not very different because the value systems are still similar, right? Even though there are different geographies. But if you really look at Asian countries, versus African countries versus countries of the West, yes, there are different geographies, but they differ a lot much more because, of how, the customers are actually brought up through a different value system altogether and the context that exists in those geographies.
Right. Great answer, Rahul. So this brings me down to the next set of questions that I have. AL and ML on the personalization front, right? So today, if I open any app that I'm viewing, be it Flipkart or Amazon, if I'm a cosmetic fan, then I'm going to see a list of cosmetics that are suggested to me. So how is this AL and ML on the personalization front evolving, that you could say some trends over the last decade that you've been closely working on these products with?
Sure. Like, this is actually a passion topic, right? So if you really think about like how, you know, retail and e-commerce has evolved, you know, like about 20 years ago when Amazon, actually more than 20 years now, like when Amazon and eBay and all of those organizations set shop, you know, we had to tell our customers and teach them that, look, this is how you shop, right? Like, this is the home page, this is the item page, this is search, and this is like cart and checkout. This is how you pay, and then you get your products, right? Cool. And it was important because, you know, customers hadn't experienced e-commerce, you know, in scale, you know, at that time. And we had to teach the customers, you know, what that meant. And so there was a need for standardization, right? But from there to now, like, our customers have evolved, right? Like, you know, today we live in an era where, like, you know, the next generation is now voting, right? And they've only grown up in the digital age, right? So they have no idea what it means to actually wait, you know, in a retail store and really, like, you know, get your products. You know, it's an age of instant gratification, right? And they also expect us to use their data meaningfully with a lot of, you know, responsibility to actually make it easier for them, right? But, you know, if you really look at how retail organizations have evolved, you know, we haven't really done that. You know, the milk that you prefer versus the one that I prefer, and the milk that you buy versus the TV that you buy, right? Like, they're all so different. You know, they're different, you know, considerations, you know, they're different decision-making points. But if you still look at all of our websites and you know, brick and mortar stores, it's a one-size-fits-all, you know, kind of a concept, right? And that's not helpful because each of us are different. So that's where I think, you know, personalization as a concept, you know, evolved, and now it's no longer the future. It is now. Like, if we don't, you know, really invest in it at this point in time, I think in the future we are going to be in a very difficult space with our customers, right? Because that's become an expectation now, right? So that's why it's required. It's no longer a great, you know, a good to have. It's you know, an absolute bare minimum at this point in time. And so I do see like a huge role that, you know, personalization is going to play. And, you know, as we scale up, you know, the usage of artificial intelligence is only going to scale up, not just in this industry, but in pretty much every other industry in the world.
Right. Right. So could you give us some examples on where, you know, like, when did you first build the personalization front, or could you tell us where there was a huge shift in the way how industries viewed personalization? Any examples that you could think of?
Yeah, I think there are quite a few, actually. And again, like I said, like, it's a little, you know, a little early in its evolution, but still not so early. Like, you know, about 5 years ago, I think, you know, one of the organizations that really pioneered, you know, this concept in terms of recommendations was Netflix, right? Yeah. You know, and they were obviously going through a change, you know, in their own business model, you know, from being a brick and mortar DVD shop to actually becoming an online streaming network, right? And it was important for people to really, you know, really spend time and really, like, you know, see relevant content. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, it became critical for them to actually invest in that area to understand really, like, you know, who prefers what sort of genre of movies. At the time they had movies and also, like, different kind of content now, right? Yeah. Similarly, like, if you look at the music streaming services like Spotify or Pandora or even like Apple Music, right?
Correct.
It's been a really good revolution, you know, in terms of really figuring out, like, you know, people's taste and actually being relevant to them, you know, versus just, you know, throwing out curated content, you know, every single time, right? Learning from people's behaviors and tastes, and hence I think, you know, that has come a long way. Right. And I think similar applications exist in retail as well, and, you know, and there's just so much to be done there. Because I feel retail as an industry is still behind, mm-hmm. in terms of the amount of impact that it can actually create through personalization.
Right. Awesome. So, Rahul, just another question that just suddenly strike me. Mm-hmm. So you've been with Flipkart and you've been with Walmart, and Walmart now acquired Flipkart. So what is the journey ahead in terms of the Indian retail scenario, given that Walmart acquired Flipkart, in terms of the technology side of it? Could you give us more insights on that?
Sure. I mean, this is just my personal opinion, right? Like, But I think it's a very exciting phase. You know, a decade ago, it was very exciting for overall the Indian startup ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Flipkart and Myntra and all of these other organizations doing well, mm-hmm. You know, I think we're going to be entering into the next phase of evolution. Not only in terms of like, you know, how retail happens, because we still have very little organized retail around the country in India, right? And e-commerce is still a very small pie. So I do expect that, you know, that percentage to increase quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it only will mean that, you know, it happens through technology, and technology hence is going to become an investment for sure.
Right.
I see multiple revolutions happening, right? If I remember a decade ago, the first revolution that, you know, I was a part of was, how do we, you know, revolutionize the payment system? Mm-hmm. Because we still had like, credit card and debit card penetration was so low, and you know, it was very difficult. It still is in terms of how do we pay, you know, through credit and debit in India.
Right.
And we had to create all the way from, you know, methods like cash on delivery to wallets. And I mean, we all know now that, you know, Paytm and PhonePe are doing so well.
Right.
So I think that was, you know, a huge, you know, I felt like a huge revolution in terms of how people even transact. And I think in terms of the next decade, a lot of areas are open for disruption, right? Like, you know, we need to disrupt, you know, how we organize retail and supply chain in India. You know, right. We need to disrupt, like, you know, how do we reach different geographies, different parts? India is not a homogeneous country, like, you know, let's say the US is, right? Like, we have differences every, you know, 100 kilometers, you know, or 100 miles, you know, as you traverse the geography,
right.
Not only in terms of like, you know, how people think and how they behave, but in terms of a language, you know, what we eat, the culture that we follow. So I think it's actually a much bigger challenge, if you will, in terms of like cracking the Indian market than, let's say, any other homogeneous market in the world.
Right.
So I feel technology is going to play a part in ways that we can only imagine at this point in time. Super excited for what it holds.
Right. We're also super excited to see how Flipkart is going to transition and completely revolutionize or disrupt the retail world. Right. So the next question is, I came to know that you're passionate about supply chain and the way how supply chain industry is evolving, right? To complement this, you've also had your master's degree in industrial engineering and statistics, which is a deadly combination. So tell us more about how the supply chain has been like in very layman's language. How I understand supply chain is there's going to be a buyer, there's going to be a receiver, and in the middle you have a lot of you know, parties who play their role, and then there's been a very revolutionizing way of how supply chain is evolving. So could you talk to us more about the trends and how supply chain is evolving?
Absolutely. I think you know, supply chain, if you really look at any organization, you know, in e-commerce and retail, the core of what they do is actually supply chain, right? You know, you can have a beautiful website, it can be personalized, you can have great products that you can sell, but ultimately you've got to get those products into the hands of the customer, right? You know, as fast as you can, right? So and as well as you can. So supply chain becomes the core of any large, you know, organization that's into e-commerce and retail. So if you really look at like how it is evolving, you know, like about a decade ago, you know, all of us were happy, you know, with items getting to us within, you know, 3 days or 4 days. And really, if you look at like, you know, what we have right now, we have, you know, 1 hour and 30 minute deliveries, you know, all across the country for goods that we never imagined that we would get within 30 minutes, right? And it's not just pizza anymore, right? Like it's everything, you know, everything from like, you know, your Apple AirPods to, you know, your next Xbox that you want to try out. You know, if you really want instant gratification, I think there are ways and means that you can actually get that, right? Where you don't have to really get out of your house and drive up to the next store. It actually comes to you, right? And I think that's been a remarkable evolution, right? I actually feel like, you know, supply chain has always been the strong suit in the US because of how many years it has had to evolve, and also like, you know, the amount of expertise that existed in this country. But it's been very fascinating to see that happen in India in a very short amount of time.
Right.
For like I said, goods that, you know, you could only imagine you know, getting to your hands like in 30 minutes about a decade ago, but it's actually now a reality, right? If you really look at how India has evolved, right? Like all these different organizations that you see, you know, whether it's Swiggy or Zomato, you know, all these, you know, organizations, you know, that let's say deliver food, at the core of, you know, who they are, they're really a logistics supply chain organization, right? They've ended up, you know, building, you know, such a network, a strong suite of network that they're actually able to get, you know, stuff, you know, to your hands, you know, in a very short amount of time. And I feel the next phase of evolution, which is already, you know, I think starting out, is for these organizations to not just, you know, own the logistics that delivers, you know, the goods, but also start, you know, getting a share of the pie of the goods themselves, right? So getting into their own private brands, like, you know, for example, Swiggy is starting its own kitchens, you know, which it's actually like, you know, selling through its logistics network versus just getting, you know, food from one restaurant to the customer. Like they are sort of becoming the restaurant themselves, right? So I feel like, you know, once you establish a strong logistics network, you can start, you know, expanding that in both ways. You can actually use the network and actually monetize it by providing that network for other players to use that. Or you can start getting into the goods industry, you know, yourself, like, you know, your own brands, your own network, you know, that actually powers those brands. So all of that is going to happen, you know, in the Indian ecosystem, you know, in the next decade. And again, like I said, it's just super fascinating to see the pace of evolution. You know, where like in other countries it has taken like a lot much more amount of time. I think, you know, the demand is so high in markets like India that the pace of evolution is actually and the innovation that happens is actually having to match that pace of customer expectations rising.
Right. So so the next question was also that I think you partly answered. So the rapid growth in technology, you attribute it only to the demand that it's creating or that is required? Or is there any other factors that you could attribute the growth or rapid in, you know, digitalization in India?
Yeah, I think, you know, for sure, like, you know, customers, like I said, you know, they've started expecting it as a bare minimum, right? It's no longer something that's good to have, like, and there's just no other way to scale, right? If you don't have technology, like, it's very difficult for you to reach, you know, the wide swaths that, you know, of you know, people that India, you know, has residing in so many different markets. Like, I remember, like, about a decade ago, you know, we only still used to talk about the large metropolitan cities in India. Right. But now, like, you know, we talk about all these different tier two, tier three cities in India where, like, there is just this new, you know, new class of, you know, people who start expecting, you know, a greater value for the amount of money that they're paying for their services. Right. And I think there is no way to meet it, you know, but to actually, you know, leverage technology, right? There's no other way to scale, right? So I think technology is going to play that part for sure. It already has been, right? You know, we have like Flipkart and Myntra and all the other different e-commerce players in India, like reaching nooks and corners of India, like that others have not been able to reach, right? And only technology has made that possible, right? Whether it's technology of just, you know, in you being able to place an order from wherever you are, through your mobile, you know, or to even like technology that powers your payments, to technology that powers your logistics. Right. It's everywhere. It's just that, you know, it's become so commonplace that we don't look at it as an innovation anymore. It's just expectation.
Right. So very personal question to you, Rahul. How did you get the flair to get into the retail or e-commerce industry, you know, soon after you graduated in your master's? So what drew you to that?
I don't think it was planned at all, Srinidhi, for sure. Like, you know, it was obviously by accident. I think majority of the product managers that, you know, most of their careers are accidents. And I don't think mine is any different, right? I was just sure that, you know, I wanted to be in a place where, you know, not only did I know that I was creating impact, but I was also close enough to it so that I can actually learn from it and measure it myself. And I think that led me to actually, you know, talk to organizations where I felt like, you know, there was a huge amount of potential at that point in time. And honestly, I think luck had a huge part to play, right? So You know, I still remember the Flipkart founders, like, who invested in me and, you know, like, you know, who gave me a chance. So, you know, as you would have it, like, that's the reason probably why I'm here, you know, chatting with you at this point in time.
Wow, that's really interesting. So very recently, I saw that you shared a picture with CEO of Walmart, and that just, you know, created a very curiosity, you know, very curious. I was very curious to know that how is leadership and a company culture very important, especially in a very, you know, product oriented company? How is product leadership and company culture important in evolution of the organization?
Oh, I mean, like, it doesn't matter what sort of organization you are in, or, you know, the size of your team, or, like, you know, what problem you're trying to solve for the customer. I think, you know, the fact that, the fact that remains the same is always that you've got to take care of your associates, and right, you've got to inspire them, right? I think that has really never changed, you know, according to me. I think product leadership roles are, you know, by definition, you know, just that, like, you know, they're leadership roles, right? And you know, and you've got to lead with influence, right? Like, it's very difficult for you to lead with any other kind of you know, technique. So it's really, you know, having a vision, you know, for not just, you know, your charter, but also for the team and every individual in that team. You know, having passion, you know, for the problem that you're solving and for the team that you're building, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you really do have to care about the problem and the people. And then once you have vision and passion, you've got to be able to communicate that, right? Like, so communication becomes very key, right? Especially in large organizations, you know, there are so many different, you know, people at different points in time that you're going to have to interface with. So right, how do you help them understand the charter that you have and the team that your building has, so that, you know, you can make the biggest impact, right? So some communication is key, but just vision and passion and communication are not enough, right? Like, you're going to have to get it done. Right. So execution becomes important, right? So you're going to do the right things and also get it done the right way. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, is culture, right?
Right.
You know, it's I actually believe in that, you know, a lot. Like, it's not just about, you know, what you do and why you do things, but also about how you do it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's super critical. I actually believe that, you know, every environment that you're a part of, like, you know, you're going to have to leave it a little bit, you know, better than what you found it as. Yeah. And, you know, that just means so many different things in so many different contexts. But, you know, without that, I think, you know, there is really no, you know, no fun in actually getting things done, right? So when people ask me, like, you know, who we are, I like to summarize that in one sentence, which is like, we are definitely a bunch of smart people, you know, but definitely humble, you know, who are solving some really tough, you know, real problems for our customers while having a lot of fun, right? So those are the three critical things that I believe in, like, you know, a tough problem to solve that challenges you intellectually and keeps you motivated and excited. A bunch of good people that you work with that you can learn from and that you can teach a little bit, and also a lot of fun, right? So those three things, I think, you know, become super critical. And I think in an organization like Walmart, I think, you know, and that's what's kept me here. It's, you know, you find that, like, at every nook and corner, right? Like, you know, everybody, you know, trying to do it their own way. And I think it's just super exciting to learn from so many different, you know, sets of people.
Right. I also really think it's important that as an organization also, right, they believe in individuals' talent and they just let them do things in, you know, be the experiment that they want to do, or, you know, just, you know, like, motivating individuals to problem solve the way that they want. I think that's really critical in every company's culture. Great highlight there, Rahul. Thank you so much. So just for the last bit of it, this is a question that I like asking my guests, just to understand the idea or the thought process. So why don't you let us know the top three apps that you use every day, or something that you like using every day, and why do you like them?
Yeah, no, I think it's actually very straightforward. You know, the first one is actually, you know, the organization that I work for. So I obviously, like, use Walmart a lot.
Definitely. I was actually expecting that, but not as a top one, but I get it.
Yeah, no, I think, and a lot of reasons, right? Like, you know, obviously, like, you know, there are things that, you know, we, you know, as associates, you know, keep, you know, building. So, you know, we want to see, like, you know, how customers are using that and what customers are talking about, right? And that keeps you grounded. And as you like use the app as a customer, like you find so many things that, you know, on a daily basis that you can continue to improve, you know, for customers and for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that keeps me excited. I think the second app that I do like, you know, is actually LinkedIn, right? Okay. I think, you know, it's sort of evolved from just a professional network to actually now a network like, you know, where you can even consume news from, right? Which is super exciting, right? And I think it basically, for all professionals, I think it sort of is a sort of evolving to be a very complete app, you know, that keeps you in touch with what's happening in the industry that you're in, or also like areas that you're interested in, which is, I think, super exciting, right? The third one that I do like is actually Slack, right? It's you know, it's it's an app that we use for our internal communication, you know, within Walmart, and it's a peer-to-peer messaging app. And I think just the features and the ease, you know, with which that the app has been designed, and you know, the bunch of things that they keep releasing and actually solving real problems, you know, that center communication, you know, it's just super awesome to see. There are just so many other apps that I could just keep thinking of, but these were the three that came to mind immediately.
Wow, that's really great. Thank you so much, Rahul. So this brings us towards the end of this interview. So thank you so much once again for taking your time to talk to us and to our audience. And it's been really great. And thank you so much for sharing very great insights on the whole, be it personalization or supply chain management. I'm pretty sure our audience would really enjoy it.
Absolutely, Srinidhi. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rahul. Have a lovely day ahead.
Yep, you too. Take care.